Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback! The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Score! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Dick shoots. Shoot! Score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikhail Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here we go. Sharks have it. Macklin Celebrini makes a maneuver. Took it off his skate. Tried to get around the defense. Lost it. Edmonton's got the rush. Down the left side with Draisaitl. Cross the line. Slides it far side of the ice. Put to the middle. Here comes McDavid. Dances to the front of the net. Draisaitl shoots. And he scores. Now that is as disappointing as you can get. Leon Draisaitl has had several empty nets that he missed. He gets redemption with the game-winning goal in overtime from McDavid, who ends up with three assists. But for the San Jose Sharks, a sixth consecutive game in which they had a lead in the third period. They are 1-5. They've lost four straight of those games. This one in overtime, but it hurts just as badly as the last. Final score, Edmonton 3, the Sharks 2. San Jose has to settle for one single point.
Yeah, I know. Well, first of all, they have, you know, two of the best players in the world that make it really hard on you defensively. It's almost like they're telepathic in the offensive zone. They know where each other are and their teammates are. It's really incredible. So you could tip your hat a little bit to that, but a little bit is, you know, we got slow. We got put on our heels. You know, we didn't defend quick enough. We didn't skate to make them move pucks a little bit quicker so we can jump on them a little bit. But in the second, I thought we got away from our forecheck, and that's what started that. And then in the third, we knew there was going to be a push coming. I thought at times we actually looked all right in the third, and at times, again, we went back on our heels and didn't skate to close.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing as it is the Sunday as we head towards the final game before the holiday break? That's coming up Monday, late afternoon, a 6 o'clock start in Vancouver for the San Jose Sharks. Well, I'll put it this way. Any emotion you feel after yesterday's game is valid. If you are thrilled with what Jaroslav Askarov looks like and his potential for the future, totally valid. If you are depressed because the San Jose Sharks once again had a lead in the third period against a good team and were not able to hold on for a win, totally valid. If you are excited for what the Sharks show for the future, because of the way they are playing against these top-tier NHL teams in spite of the results, yes, totally valid. And if you're just along for the ride, enjoying every game as it presents itself and not really expecting stuff out of the San Jose Sharks this year while they continue their rebuild, again, I'm going to say that's totally valid because all those reactions were ones that I tried to wade through yesterday's game. I think the ultimate one that I felt is the comparison of the fact that they were in another really good game against a really good team. They had a lead in the third period, just like they did against Utah, just like they did against Winnipeg, just like they did against Colorado, just like they did against Carolina, and they were once again not able to walk away with the 2 points when all was said and done. Now, the difference between this game and the previous three games was that San Jose did get a point out of it, which I appreciate overall. But again, we look at their inability to close out games. Couple thoughts about this. Do you expect San Jose to go into Edmonton as hot as they have been and beat Edmonton? If the answer is yes, then I think you're very confident. If the answer is no, then you're probably pretty accepting of yesterday's results. I don't think there's anything you can look at and say, yeah, well, you know, they should have done this, that, and the other thing. And I won't disagree, but you look at Edmonton and they are just a significantly better team across the board. And one of the things I look at with San Jose as they continue this rebuild, of which they are most definitely still in, is that before you can be good to great, you have to be competitive. And that was the difference of where the Sharks most definitely were not a year ago. And I know that the comparisons to a year ago are maybe tired for some of you, but it has to be brought as part of the larger discussion. And we don't have to talk about individual game performances to the same extent, but you do have to look a year ago and say they were getting blown out. Remember the end of the year against Edmonton in which they were demolished? Because I do. Do you remember the games against Vancouver last year? Do you remember the games against, you know, any team, Carolina, Florida, Washington, Tampa, in which the Sharks would get absolutely spanked? Now, the Sharks have had it handed to them on a couple of occasions this year by Winnipeg, by Vegas, by Tampa, some of the best teams in the NHL, and that's going to happen from time to time. But the overwhelming majority of games that the Sharks are in, they are right there. And I think that is that next step. Now, you don't want to get caught in an endless rebuild, of which some people are a little bit concerned about when you look about, you know, teams like Anaheim and Detroit and Buffalo and Ottawa. And yes, it's a totally valid response, as we're validating your feelings today on this Sunday morning. But I also think that the San Jose Sharks are showing such extreme growth and setting themselves up for success in such a way that I do think in a year's time, they can be a significantly better team and a very, very good team. If you look at the way the young talent is progressing, if you look at some of the talent that they've acquired, if you look at the weapons that they have for the future, of which Yaroslav Askarov, I most definitely consider part of that, then the Sharks have the ability to bring in some free agents and ride the experience that they have and suddenly be a very good team in the NHL. I don't know if that's exactly the timeline that Mike Greer is looking at, but they don't feel that far off. And I think that when you look at some of the ways that these other teams that have been in the long-term rebuilds have played, I don't think they have looked like they have been quote-unquote that close to being able to take a turn like that. I look at, you know, a team like Minnesota, who had extreme talent and now have suddenly brought in some players and, you know, suddenly built something very, very good after a year in which they were not very good. They've had an extreme turnaround. I think the Sharks have the capability of making an extreme turnaround from one year to the next. You know, my high line for the Sharks this year was about 35 wins. I think they'll probably win somewhere in the vicinity of 30 to 35 games, which, by the way, when you won 19 and 22 in the previous two seasons, that's a huge step forward. And I don't know that they'll specifically get there, but I'm not going to be surprised if they get 30 to 35 wins. But I do think that the talent that they have allows them to take a huge step forward. A big piece of that is Yaroslav Askarov, who was phenomenal yesterday and showed every single reason why he was traded and acquired for. You know, essentially, you turned the Tomáš Hertl trade into the Yaroslav Askarov acquisition. Tomáš Hertl was a fan favorite. Tomáš Hertl was one of the last pieces of the previous era of San Jose Sharks hockey. Obviously, Logan Couture and Mark-Edward Vlasic are still left, but neither of them are playing. But, you know, he was a guy who remains of what was previously part of San Jose. And it's tough because you remember what he was capable of doing. You remember the goal he scored in game 6 against Vegas. You remember the incredible highlights he had. You remember Fun Must Be Always. And that was a great era for the San Jose Sharks. But we're not in that era anymore. And Mike Greer, much to his credit, had to make some very non-emotionally based decisions to put the Sharks in the best position to succeed in the future. One of those decisions was trading Tomáš Hertl to Vegas, not getting specifically elite assets. I think that an Edstrom-type player has the ability to be very good, but, you know, he was a later pick, even for a first-rounder, but has now turned those into an asset in Yaroslav Askarov, who looks like he has the ability to be one of the premier netminders in the NHL. And I want to look at the game he had yesterday and remind you of how absolutely phenomenal he was, because in my opinion, he gave the Sharks a chance to win against one of the elite teams in the NHL, and not just one of the elite teams, but against a team that has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, two of the best players in the world and two of the best players in the history of the game, and in Connor McDavid, the player of his generation, who, when I think is all said and done, I think there'll be a very good argument of holding him in higher regard than we do Wayne Gretzky, of which that's an incredibly high bar to clear. But when we look at the modern era of what Connor McDavid is capable of doing, it's going to be a pretty hard argument to go against. However, you saw Yaroslav Askarov slow that team down significantly, making save after save after save, double and triple saves, acrobatic saves, reaction saves, huge saves. you look at what Edmonton has in terms of their offensive ability, and Yaroslav Askarov was always in the right place at the right time. It took until 17 seconds left in the game, Edmonton with an extra attacker to get a goal to give them a 2-2 tie to send it to overtime. If your goalie can hold Edmonton to a one-goal performance until 17 seconds left in a game in which they score their second with an extra attacker, you are in a phenomenal position to win that game. And I would say the majority of teams in the NHL that are not in a rebuild are going to be able to win that game. The Sharks are in a rebuild, and it's something we constantly have to remind ourselves of. I had a buddy who's been texting me after every single one of these games saying, once again, the Sharks can't finish. He's like, I can't believe they did it again. They couldn't close it out. Wash, rinse, repeat. And I'm like, yes, I know. They are in a rebuild. They are still a young, inexperienced team, even with players like Cody Ceci, who was in the Stanley Cup final last year with Edmonton, even with a Tyler Toffoli, who's been there at different parts of his career. The Sharks are at a point where they are going to be able to compete with good teams, but oftentimes they're not going to have enough to win those big games, and that is the difference. We looked at Edmonton and the way they stayed in that game, didn't let the Sharks add on anymore, always kept themselves in it, finally tied it late after pushing and pushing and pushing for pretty much the final 40 minutes of the game, broke through, and then it went to overtime. Overtime, 3-on-3, Edmonton. I mean, I turned to Alan yesterday and I said, you can't give up the puck. That's the number one thing you cannot do because you will not get it back. And sure enough, the minute that they turned the puck over, they did not get it back. And I'm not here to, you know, be harsh on Macklin Celebrini because he tried to go behind his back and make something happen. He's got to be more careful with the puck in that situation. It is a learning situation for Macklin Celebrini, and it's crazy how few learning situations there have been for Macklin Celebrini because he's been playing at an elite level and did pick up another point yesterday for the short duration of his career. Macklin Celebrini will learn at times in the NHL. We haven't seen it happen very often, but that was a learning moment. Against Edmonton, in overtime, you need to be more careful with the puck. And again, I don't think he needs to be crushed for it because I think there is a higher probability he'll try something like that in the future and end up with an amazing play after trying to go behind his back in a crazy situation. And everyone will point to the talent and playmaking ability of Macklin Celebrini and say that's why he's one of the great young talents in the game. And I'm all for him trying things. I'm all for him, you know, being in those situations. But there also is the other side of it where it's being careful, being needed to be that tight of a player and having to do the right thing in the moment as opposed to the potential thing in the moment. But Yaroslav Askarov, you know, being tasked with making an incredible save once again in the overtime period, he said that he thought the shot was going to go high. It stayed on the ice. His instinct had been phenomenal up to that point of the game. I can't argue with it. How would you argue with it? And even the greats get beat sometimes. That's just how it goes. But Yaroslav Askarov was absolutely phenomenal. He did everything to give the Sharks a chance to win that game. Sometimes the effort does not line up with the current timeline, and the Sharks, where they are at this point in history, are not capable of always getting those big, big wins, even if you do have your goalie making absolutely phenomenal saves time in, time out. Some other angles out of this game. Luke Cunnan continues to be an impactful performer for the San Jose Sharks. Love his crashing the net that we've seen this year, following his shots. He's been in the right place at the right time more often, and I think that's simply because his lower body health and his leg specifically, the one that he blew out his knee on a couple of years ago, is giving him more explosive and driving power to get into those greasy spaces to be in the right place at the right time. And you know, one of the things that he mentioned when we talked about him coming back last year was, being healthy is not the same thing as being, 100% to where you were before an injury. And I think that's important to note that he's probably now back to where he was. And I think you can make an argument that is even better because I believe his career high for goals in a season is something like 16. Right now he's on pace for 21. So yeah, he is having an impactful time for San Jose. And you love to see him having the success because he is such a good guy. He does his type 1 diabetes foundation. He understands that there is more to his existence than just being a hockey player. And I appreciate guys who play like that and have that awareness about them. And then Alex Wennberg, he continues to get himself points, and his game just continues to grow before our very eyes. And, you know, it was one of the things that I talked to about him a couple of days ago, less than a week ago on Monday. You know, I said for those of us who didn't know his game, because I would see Alex Wennberg occasionally and think, okay, he's a good hockey player, but I didn't think specifically a lot about him. But now that he is performing in San Jose, you see a lot that you like in every single game, it seems. And, you know, on that first goal, that was a great situation where he was able to get deep and put himself in a situation to make a play. And the playmakers out there are going to be more and more called upon as we get deeper and deeper into this season. But he has 17 points right now, and I am going to look at that. You know, you look at the career high in points for him. That came back in 2016 when he had 46 points in 80 games played. He had, or excuse me, 59 points. He had 46 assists to go with 13 goals. So that was a while ago. You know, if you look at his recent career, he had 17 with Columbus in 2019, 12 with Florida in 2020, 26 with Seattle, 25 with Seattle. You know, then he was traded to New York. He had 20 points combined last year. This year, he's already got 17 points through 36 games. And I don't believe he even registered his first point until about the eighth or ninth game of the season. So it took him a little bit of time to get rolling, but now that he's rolling, more often than not, he is finding himself on the score sheet. And I'm not expecting him to be some sort of huge point scoring machine for San Jose, but I do look at the way that he has gotten more comfortable with his teammates, has gotten more comfortable with his role in San Jose, and continues to be a consistent performer. And you love to watch that play. You love to see these guys who can come in, make their presence felt, and continue to perform for San Jose. That is exactly what he was asked to do as a veteran, and he's doing it while being a good leader and somebody who can show the way for the young guys on the team so they can figure out what it takes to be successful. And he's great for the culture overall. He's a family man. He understands what it takes to balance those two aspects of his life in the NHL. He's having fun, and right now the vibe in San Jose is most definitely a very good one. All right, let's take a look at some of those highlights out of yesterday's game. It was San Jose who struck first thanks to some absolutely great playmaking from Alex Wennberg and a hard-charging Luke Cunning.
Now the Oilers able to flick it into the Sharks' end. How long will it stay there? Well, it depends on whether Timothy Liljegren can get the puck now beyond the D, and he does. There's a chase for it down the right wing side and getting it to it first in the offensive, and Wennberg centers in front. They score! Oh, what a play by the Sharks. Luke Cunning getting it from Wennberg, who wins the foot race. Cunning driving to the right circle and ripping that one-timer right past Pickard at 3 minutes and 23 seconds of this first frame. The Sharks are up 1-0, and for Luke Cunning, that is his ninth goal of the year.
That was at 3:23 overall of the game for San Jose. Wennberg and Liljegren with the assists on the play. Just about 4 minutes later, Zach Hyman gets a goal. Connor McDavid, a great wheel route, working his way around from behind the net back towards the slot and passing it across and finding Hyman. It gets a 1-1 game. Hyman with the two black eyes and the broken nose out there still making an impact. I appreciate him. And also, if you haven't seen the interview where he talks about it not being a big deal about having his nose smashed up, it's pretty funny. That made it a 1-1 game. And then about a minute later, we saw Jan Ruda with his first goal of the year. The checkmate finally finding the back of the net.
In the neutral zone, 1-1 the score. Here comes Wallman for the Sharks across the line. Delayed penalty coming up against Edmonton. The Sharks get the extra skater out. Ruda the shot, score! Jan Ruda bangs it in during the delayed penalty. Sharks 2 and Oilers 1. And for Jan Ruda of the San Jose Sharks, that is goal number 1 on the year.
After that, it was the Yaroslav Askarov show, who just kept on making save after save after save, giving San Jose a great opportunity to get a win or at least a point in Edmonton. They didn't get the win, but maybe the entire league saw that Yaroslav Askarov is going to be one of the next great goalies in the NHL.
But Timothy Liljegren goes back to get it for the Sharks in his own end, and he gets it around the boards. Kovalenko, though, lost it wide open in front. Henrik, a backhand chance. Oh, what a save! Askarov stops that with his right-handed catching glove hand. A point-blank chance all by himself was Adam Henrik. And somehow Askarov calmly makes the save and hangs on. Oh, man, that was his best save of the game.
The thing that Ruzzi pointed out there that calmly makes the save, Askarov never seems rattled. And he always seems to be having fun, by the way. I think you can see it at points. They would zoom in on his face during the broadcast. And he looked like he was smiling. He looked like he was laughing. He looked like he was having fun. Yaroslav Askarov enjoys the game of hockey. And I think that that's something to take into account. Not all these guys enjoy it, obviously. I'm not trying to say they don't. But when you can see the joy on a guy's face, when you can see that he's getting peppered and hammered and getting, you know, just absolutely put to the limit, and he's still enjoying it, he's not acting stressed out or anything like that, that is a great place to be. And it reminds me of what we have seen from Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. They look like they're having fun out there on the ice. They look like they're enjoying themselves. And that ultimately is going to give you a great opportunity to have team bonding, chemistry, joy being brought to the game. One of the great anecdotes that I heard from Steve Kerr when he was just becoming the head coach for the first time of the Golden State Warriors is that he went and asked Pete Carroll, who at the time was in charge of a Seahawks team that was in their championship window, you know, and he went and watched how Pete Carroll was conducting his practices and how he was doing just, you know, everything he would do as a coach. And I believe Carroll asked Steve Kerr, what do you want your team to embody? And I think Steve Kerr said something to the effect of joy or fun or something like that. And then, you know, Pete Carroll said, so make sure that's what your practices are. Make sure that's your emphasis. Make sure it's not about other things that can get you derailed. You know, focus on the joy. Focus on having fun. And, you know, obviously when you have generational talents like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, you know, out there doing things that you've never seen before, that'll bring joy to everyone. That said, you look at players like Macklin Celebrini and Yaroslav Askarov and Will Smith, and you might just have your own generational talents out there that'll give you that ability to bring joy to the day-in, day-out process of being a great team in the NHL. The Sharks aren't there yet, but when you see Will and Macklin and Askarov having fun, which are three foundational pieces of your future, it does give you the feeling that something good is going on in San Jose for the future. Edmonton kept pushing and pushing and pushing to try and find that equalizing goal. Finally, with time waning, they pulled the goalie, added an extra attacker. 17 seconds remain. Edmonton finds the back of the net.
Down low, back behind the goal line. In the Sharks zone. 28 seconds remaining in the third. The Sharks are bending, but they're bending deeply here. Bouchard keeps in for the Oilers. Now to McDavid. He holds it. He throws it across the ice. It's into the slot. They score! Well, there's Mattias Ekholm. It was bound to happen at some point if the Sharks couldn't get it out toward the empty net. And Ekholm, who got the game winner in overtime against the Boston Bruins last game out, ties this with the extra attacker on with 17.3 seconds to go in the game. And it is a frustrated group of Sharks that can't believe what just happened.
The thing is, I always remember when the Sharks would have these improbable victories where they would have late comebacks, where it was just the regular season and they'd be down, they'd pull a guy, they would just do it out of nothing. And that was just not expected, but it was something you knew they were capable of. Because when you're a contending team, when you have great talents, the Sharks used to have, you know, Jumbo and Pavs and Hurdle and Meyer and Kane and Burns and Carlson and, you know, Klo and Boiler, and you know, you go down the list of all these great players that were out there on the ice for San Jose in different eras and different moments. And yeah, you weren't surprised when they made the big play at the big moment to force overtime or to get the overtime win. That's what great players do. And you can't wait for the future in which Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are making those great plays in the future. And I know it's tough to be patient, but right now you just acknowledge that they are not there yet. And I watch Macklin and I watch Will Smith and I see so much for the future, but I also at the same time acknowledge that they are not there yet. And, you know, Edmonton is. Edmonton is the type of the team where you can keep it, you know, a one-goal game and they will find the ability to tie it late and win it in overtime. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. That is Edmonton. That's the level of talent they have.
And here we go. Sharks have it. Macklin Celebrini makes a maneuver, took it off his skate, tried to get around the defense, lost it. Edmonton's got the rush. Down the left side with Draisaitl, cross the line. Slides it far side of the ice, put to the middle. Here comes McDavid, dances to the front of the net. Draisaitl shoots, and he scores! Now that is as disappointing as you can get. Leon Draisaitl has had several empty nets that he missed. He gets redemption with the game-winning goal in overtime from McDavid, who ends up with three assists. But for the San Jose Sharks, a sixth consecutive game in which they had a lead in the third period. They are 1-5. They've lost four straight of those games. This one in overtime, but it hurts just as badly as the last. Final score, Edmonton 3, the Sharks 2. San Jose has to settle for one single point.
The idea, I would hope, is that everyone gets absolutely sick of these performances in which they come so close but walk away with none or 1 point when all is said and done. Ultimately, it is these tough losses that will turn a team into one of two directions. One, a team that rises above, absolutely hates losing, and puts it out of their mentality for the near future. When they turn that corner, that's what everyone wants to San Jose to be, a team that despises losing because they went through so much of it at certain parts of their careers. You want Macklin and Will and Eklund and Zetterlund and Askarov and all these guys to be absolutely sick of losing. The other way is that it defeats you and then it knocks you down and that you never do learn how to win, because that's also an option for what can happen to teams. And I think that we can point to some of the endless rebuilds that may have happened to them. And sometimes you just have to work harder to change that culture. There's no easy answer. I always say this to people when everyone starts getting about, well, you know, they say they need to do this for a rebuild or that for a rebuild. And it's like, guys, if there was an easy, obvious, clear-cut path to how to make sure that your rebuild goes in a direction that leads to success in a Stanley Cup championship, everyone would do it. But there isn't. Sometimes the draft picks don't work out the way that you thought they would. Sometimes injury happens. Sometimes catastrophe happens. There's any sort of thing that can happen to a team. And sometimes the moves work out just right. And I would even point to a team like Edmonton. By the way, they have been able to draft absolutely amazing talent in the last, 15 years. They still haven't won at all. They are a contending team. They are in the midst of that window. They still have not won at all. The Sharks seemingly did everything right. I think Doug Wilson is one of those guys that when you look back at the moves he made, when you look back at the way that he had the Sharks contending for so long, in contention for 15 years, you look at all the moves and you say, yep, that was the right move. That was the right move. That was the right move. You can still come up with the wrong answer. You know, right and wrong is unfortunately defined by the success you eventually do or do not have. And San Jose is still being pointed in that direction. Hopefully they come out to where we say Mike Greer's decisions and trades and moves were the right ones. But we still don't know. Now, I like where things are headed right now. I am not in any way, shape, or form saying that this is the wrong way to go about things. I mean, A, I don't know, but B, I like what Mike Greer has done. I think the Sharks are pointed in the right direction, but I always temper that by saying if there was such an easily clear-cut path, everyone would be doing it. All right, Cody Ceci, post-game, asking about having to defend so long against Edmonton. He gave this response, especially in terms of when they were really pushing and just being asked to defend for so much of that time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's different being on the other side of it. They get rolling around, and it's tough to stop, especially when you're late in your shift. That's when they do their damage. So there was times tonight where we tried to just pack it in and limit what we were going to give up. But yeah, it is taxing to spend that much time in your zone, and you just try and just battle through it.
It's always a battle against Edmonton. They don't give you the opportunity to rest. They just keep on coming at you in waves, and you knew there was going to be a response after the Sharks went up 2-1 after the first period, but for 40 minutes, the Sharks were essentially just dealing with the onslaught. And it would have been great if they could have added more offense. I don't disagree, but Edmonton knows how to just absolutely hammer a team. And at that point, it became not a war of attrition, but they were going to break down Askarov eventually, and they did with 17 seconds remaining. It was a frustrating finish, but Edmonton is that good. Their talent level is that high. CeCe was also asked about what the takeaway has to be after yet another game in which they are leaving points on the table.
Yeah, it's kind of been a trend lately, just giving up points in the last minute. So that's something we're trying to fix. We're a young group, so it is a little tougher. I mean, if you defend that much, you will break at some point. And it's kind of been hurting us for points lately. And I think that's something we're going to try and address and learn from moving forward.
You just hope that San Jose is learning from these games in which they're not able to walk away with wins and taking those lessons into the future with them. Obviously, it was progress, as they did earn a point out of this game, whereas they had not in the previous three. Obviously, still a frustrating finish for San Jose, but this is part of where they are in their rebuild. They are in games. Now they've got to learn how to win games. All right, I will see you on Monday as we get ready for Vancouver. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.